right, everyone. We'd like to welcome you to this month's edition of Compliance and Cocktails with Ignite Consulting Partners. Today, we have a very special guest, Maggie Pugasek, who's going to be a guest speaker at both our conference, Compliance Unleashed 2022, and at the Buy Here, Pay Here United Conference here in April at the Bellagio in Las Vegas. So, Steve, I don't know if you had a word or two here to introduce her.
No, I'm really excited. This is my favorite time of year because conference season is kicking off, and we love our Compliance Unleashed conference. We try to bring together the best compliance presentations, the best ideas, and really give our audience two full days of great content. And I stumbled upon Maggie a year or two ago, and I am so impressed by what she brings to the table that she has not one, but two sessions at our conference because we believe in what she does so much, and we didn't want to shorten her presentation. So I'm just really excited that our audience is going to get some exposure to Maggie, because I'm a huge fan of her and her company and what they do. So with that being said, Maggie, why don't you kind of introduce yourself and we'll go from there.
Thank you. That was a great introduction, Steve. Thank you for your humble words. Yeah, my name is Maggie, and I am the partner here at C&M Coaching. We specialize in phone training and internet mystery shop. So we work with all departments, sales, BDC, collector, service, receptionist, anybody who's on the phone, and that's pretty much what we do, and we help them sharpen their phone skills and, work to help them just be generally better on the phone. I myself have been doing phone training for 11 years, almost 12 years now, specifically in the automotive industry, and I shifted my focus away from new cars to focus on the independent market, which gets very little attention when it comes to really helping with sales calls and sharpening those phone skills and things like that. And so I'm really excited to be speaking at the two sessions that I have at the, conference. It's going to be great. We're going to be talking about sales calls. And then I also have a session with David Brotherton, where we're going to talk about collections calls, which is going to be really exciting because I don't think other stores get to hear other stores' collections calls very.
How did you get into this? This isn't a career track. How did you stumble upon this and say, this is what I want to do?
So it's kind of a different type of story. I actually started when I was 18 years old. My very first real job outside of working for Burger King was working for a chiropractor. And if either of you have ever been to a chiropractor, they are really big on customer service. And the people that work at the front desk, they make them go to customer service conferences and they train them very heavily. And they actually have phone coaches that teach them what to say on the phone, how to treat customers. And that's actually where it kind of started with my chiropractic journey. And I worked for a chiropractor for 7 years. And then I stumbled upon another company that actually does phone training, but more in the new car market, and worked for them for 5-6 years and then left and started my own company. So completely different market, but also still phone training and customer psychology and really working to make sure that everyone across the board provides good customer service to the person on the other end of the line, because the person who answers the phone is 100% the voice of your business, and that's where your business's reputation is going to come from, is those phone calls. So if those people aren't doing the right thing initially, that reputation is going to go out into your community and not always going to be so great. So that's how I started, with chiropractic, totally unrelated to the car business.
I'm thrilled that you're going to be doing these presentations, because I've seen you in action, and I think that our audience is going to be blown away. They're going to learn so much by listening to you.
Yeah, I'm really excited to do it. I love talking about internet leads. It always kind of blows my mind. And Steve, I recently bumped into you at another event that we were at that I actually spoke at, and my team, we did 150 mystery shops for dealerships all over the United States. And it was crazy to see some of the results of how many stores actually picked up the phone and called their customers. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that when I speak in May, and also, of course, collections calls. So I'm really excited to share this information with people, because I think that stores tend to forget what's actually happening on the phone, especially if they're not paying attention to or recording their phone calls.
That's a great point. I feel like in this day and age, dealers spend so much time concerned about the internet and the website and all that, and I kind of think that phones have taken a back seat, and that's unfortunate because you're right, that is the face of the company a lot of times. That's the first person that somebody reaches.
Well, I usually try to approach it from this standpoint of how much are you spending to advertise? What does it actually cost for you to make that phone ring one time? And then what happens when that customer calls into your place of business? Where's that phone call going? Is it producing you results? Are you getting money? Are you getting people in the door? Are you spending your money wisely? And if you're not doing some sort of training, then the answer is most likely always going to be no, which is what we unfortunately kind of heard through some of those calls that we played when we were at the last event. Was a lot of them went something like, do you have this car? No, I sold it. Okay, thank you. Bye. And that was the end of the call. I mean, we had one call that was 16 seconds long, and that's exactly how it sounded. And you can imagine what they spend in advertising just to make that phone ring one time to take those 16 seconds and throw it away.
That was a $30 phone call, basically, or whatever the amount was. Mm-hmm. But a lot, probably a lot more than most people realize if they add up the hard and soft cost. That's your one chance. You just threw it away.
Yep, exactly.
So I guess I'll ask this one without giving away the game, right? Because we really want to hear what you have to say in detail at the events. But what would you say is the advantage to using this strategy? I know you're going to talk about the data at the events, but what is the differentiation in using this strategy as opposed to other techniques that you've seen out there in the market?
So one of the things that makes us a little bit unique is our approach to training. We always start by doing individual training sessions with each person one at a time. So that gives us like 45 to 60 minutes on the phone with each person, training them on their specific call type. So if you're a salesperson, we're going to be talking about inbound calls, outbound calls, objection handling techniques, voicemails. If you're in collections, we're going to be going over, you know, inbound calls, outbound calls, objection techniques, but for collections specifically. And then once we've finished with those training sessions and we role play with that person and we feel confident that they're ready to execute these techniques on the phone, we actually download their recorded phone calls and coach them and grade them and load them to our software. So that allows managers to be able to see how effective their team is at doing specific things, collecting the money or verifying account information or even something as simple as updating someone's address and phone number when you talk to them on the phone for collections. So very super simple basic steps, but again, most times people are overlooking these things. They just trust that their people are doing what they're supposed to be doing and they're not actually listening to the calls. And this gives them a unique approach to what's actually happening. I mean, this is fact. Here's an actual phone call that someone took and you can listen to it and hear whether they did what they were supposed to or not. It's right there in black and white.
Let me ask you, how big is your team? How many people do you have that are on doing this type of training?
So we have a little bit of a unique kind of setup. We have a girl that specifically does we also offer like hosted chat. So we will take leads off of the website and feed them to the dealership. And she's also our assistant. So she does all the nitty gritty work. Her name is Kate and she's wonderful. So she'll log into all these call tracking softwares and pull all of these calls. And she spends most of her day just listening to sales calls and collections calls and service calls. And she feeds them to the coaches. And we have 7 or 8 coaches. We are pretty excited. We just hired our first male coach because most of our coaches are women, but we love to have a man in there to throw the mystery shops off and have a fresh voice. And we have a great team of people. All of our coaches work remotely from home. So I love that because I can hire from anywhere. And I have a wonderful bilingual coach as well, Coach Paloma, who helps us with all of our Spanish speaking accounts. So we've got a great team. I love my team. I'm only as good as my team, and they're amazing.
What are those interviews like when you're trying to identify the right person for your team? I mean, that's a pretty unique skill set.
Yeah. So the first thing I usually listen to is their voice. I always make them interview with me on the phone so that I can hear how they actually sound. You cannot be monotone in coach calls. It will not work. You have got to have rise and fall in your voice. You have to be able to smile. Your background has to be quiet. You can't have a baby crying and a dog barking and all that other stuff going on. It has to be a professional environment. but you also have to be able to sit on your butt for a couple of hours a day, because it can take hours to coach calls and do training sessions with people. So I definitely look for people that are organized, that have a good voice. If they have worked at a dealership before, there's usually some benefit to that, but not always, because sometimes then they think they know how to do everything the right way, and or a different way, I should say, instead of the right way, you know. So it's good because it helps them understand kind of the different perspective from coaching calls. But I really listen for voice inflection. Good communication skills are a must, because we're not together in an office. We have to communicate. We use Slack and email to communicate. And so I really, really need somebody that can pay attention to detail. And we are very hands-on. We are emailing our clients all the time. You know, on a weekly basis, the coaches are communicating with their you know, clients, the owners, the managers, whoever their point of contact is at the store, so that they understand exactly how their team is progressing or where issues arise. Or if someone's doing amazing, we have to communicate that to them as well.
You're working with these teams, or, you know, I'm sure when you're working with owners, and I know you work with existing employees, are there kind of strategies, characteristics, things that you advise your clients on when they're bringing someone on board, either in a sales or a collections role, you know, some role that involves the phone? Are there certain things that you tell them to look for? Because I know there's some varying philosophies on that.
Yeah, so I actually go against the advice that I give myself. When I try to look for somebody, I will totally hire someone that worked at a dealership before, because they're very, very fast for me to train in. But if somebody's looking for someone to staff a BDC, I actually usually suggest they do the opposite, because they're always going to want to come in and change everything. And not that change is bad, but you definitely need to have somebody that is open to training in new ideas. If I work with a store and they've got a manager that says, this isn't going to work, there's no point in doing this, it's never going to work. The whole process is just going to fall apart, because it has to come from the top down and everyone has to believe in it in order for it to work. So you have to be very careful that you're not hiring people that think that their ideas are the only ideas that work. I actually usually suggest people go to local places, like your favorite restaurant, your Starbucks, your Panera. Those people there have been through good customer service training. And if they can work in a retail setting, you know, like Panera or Starbucks, there's a good chance that those people are going to make great employees. Not that you want to, you know, steal your favorite bartender from your favorite bar, but they're really, really good in those types of roles, because they're used to working under pressure with a lot of stuff going on. And when you're working in a dealership, there's 1,000 things going on at once, and you have to be able to prioritize, just like you do if you're working in a restaurant.
So let me ask you, you work with dealers all over the country, just like we do. Do you notice differences in different parts of the country? Are conversations different? Is tone different? And how do you, in your services, how do you, I guess, allow for that?
Yeah, so everything that we do is actually pretty customized and tailored to each and every store, their unique sort of processes and things that they do there. The hardest thing that I usually have to deal with is my clients down south are sometimes overly friendly, and they always want to ask everybody how they're doing today, which is kind of customer service 101 no-no. When you're dealing with a buy here, pay here market or a subprime market, the last thing that you want is to go, how are you today? Because if they're having a rough day, that's only going to make your conversation worse. And if you're a collector, that's really going to be tough to go, well, I'm really sorry to hear all that, but you owe me $500. You know, I mean, that's just going to set the tone for the conversation to be super awkward and definitely not make things feel positive for the customer. So, you know, it's interesting, because most of the time training people is very similar. Customer psychology is just customer psychology. It doesn't change from town to town. So that aspect of it, I will have people say, well, you don't know, my customers are different. No, they're not different. They are just like anyone else. I could pull a call from California and I can pull a call from Michigan. They're going to be the same. Customers are customers just in general. So we do customize our stuff to match like store specific warranties and different fun things that they might offer to people who purchase. But the basics are going to be the same. The techniques are going to be the same. The using choices to obtain information and to set appointments and all that good stuff is all going to be the same no matter where you are, because that is the best way to accomplish the goals that we need. But I do struggle with those friendly people to stop asking people, how are you today?
So I used to be a Howard Stern listener, and one of his pet peeves is when people call up and say, well, how you doing? And his belief is, well, that's just dead time. It's a waste of time. Get to the point.
Yeah. I mean, and also, too, you have to take the context of the situation. Like, you know, the unfortunate side of what we're doing is you are dealing with sometimes really difficult situations. I mean, we've heard situations of, you know, domestic abuse. We've had situations where the car is literally being repoed out someone's front window right now. Do you really want to make that person feel worse by going, how are things going for you today? Oh, well, I'm watching my car be repoed right now. That's how things are going. And I just think there's so much more productivity that you can bring to the conversation by instead saying something like, you know what, let's see what I can do to help you out. Let me ask you a couple questions, make sure you meet my basic minimum requirements for financing. Tell me a little bit about your, you know, your job. Do you have a reliable source of income? You know, and going through a series of questions to boost the customer's confidence in their ability to get financed. Don't talk to them about their day. They called you because they need financing for a vehicle. Let's talk about the financing.
And are you a big fan of that being somewhat scripted, or at least having some guideline scripts?
Yeah, I prefer to call them word tracks instead of scripts, but we do write word tracks. I feel like script is so much like you can only say this, and that's not really what we shoot for. We want them to have some fluidity, and I'm a fan of synonyms. But yes, there should be some sort of guidelines. You should always start with your basic minimum requirements prior to answering questions. The answers to the customer's questions are always going to be your leverage for needing their contact information. So if you answer questions too soon, you're definitely going to lose that leverage, and then they have no reason to give you any information to reach them at all.
Let me ask you this. Do you also do in-person secret shopping? Is that something you offer?
Oh, great question. We don't. And people have asked me that before. It would be such a huge undertaking, and I have to have people in every city. That would be nearly impossible. But we do them over the internet, and it's almost worse, to be honest. I mean, I can't tell you how many times we'll go to a website and submit an internet lead posing as a local customer, and no one calls. No one calls. And we usually leave our leads open for 3 days. So if it's a Monday, we're not going to close that lead till probably Thursday. And I can't tell you how often I get to Thursday, and I go and I look at the call log, and I'm like, no one called. Check the text log. No text messages. Check my email. Nothing there. Check my spam box. Nothing there. Okay, so this is a zero contact. They made no attempt at all to contact this customer. This is great. And this happens all the time.
Wow.
And
so that right there. I mean, if I'm a dealer principal, and I want to know that ASAP.
Yeah.
That's huge.
It's bad. It's. I think, again, it gets pushed to the side. You guys, these people are worried about their inventory right now because of the inventory issues and the cost of inventory being so expensive, and they're focused on their inventory. They're focused on advertising, but you have to pay attention to what drives the customer into the store. You can advertise until you're blue in the face, but if no one's effectively taking those leads and calling them, you're just wasting money on advertising. No one's calling your leads. I mean, the last round of shops that we did, it was 150, and we had 78 phone calls that we actually had to place. So we had 150 shops, 78 did not call.
Oof.
Within five business days, we left those open for a week.
Is that extreme in what you usually see, or is that kind of par for the course?
It is par for the course. It's very typical. I've even had stores with BDCs. This just happened to me a week or two ago. A store just started their BDC. We mystery shopped them as part of that last round of shops I was just referencing with the 150, and they said, I got a BDC in place. Let's do a new shop, and we did. And it was a zero. No call, no email, no text, nothing. No one bothered to call the customer again, three business days. So we're seeing this happen so consistently. The other thing that I see a really big issue with is texting. I know that people want to text. I get that. But pick up the phone and call them first. If they don't answer you, then shoot them a text. You cannot replace human interaction with a text message. It's just not a good idea. And your chances of actually being able to get that customer on the phone are obviously going to be significantly greater if you're calling them within that first 15 minutes. every 15 minutes that goes by after that first 15, you're literally just waving to someone further and further away across the room. You wait till 24 or 48 hours later, they could have bought two cars in that time span.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're gone by then.
Call them quick. And if they don't answer, then send them a text. If they're at work, they'll text you back. But just not responding to these leads at all or thinking that text is replacing the phone call is just wrong. It should be done in conjunction with a phone call, not in place of.
Man, I'm so excited to have you come to Compliance Unleashed. I think the audience is just going to eat this stuff up. And I'm really excited. In fact, the session I may be most excited about for the entire conference is you and David Brotherton together talking about collections. I mean, I think that right there is going to steal the show.
Yeah, we've never done it before. And I actually had David on my podcast 2 weeks ago, and I'm just so excited to do this because I've done stuff with him for years. Since 2017, we've been working together, but we've never actually gotten to speak together before. So this is going to be so great because we work together so well, and I have some excellent calls that we're going to play, and David's going to talk about the compliance aspect of it, which is, of course, why we're there in the first place. And I think that, like I said, people don't often get to hear other stores' collections calls. Heck, some stores don't even listen to their own. So this is going to be a really excellent opportunity for people to come and sit and listen to the good things that are happening in collections calls, the bad things that are happening, and then the right way to do things. Because, of course, we want people to leave with things they can take back to their store to start implementing right away. And, you know, with David has so much knowledge and experience in the industry that it's going to be excellent for people to hear his feedback on these calls as well. So yep, thank you so yep. much for having now, me. I can't wait.
Oh, it's going to be great. I lost my big opportunity to speak with you. Because we were slated to speak together. You invited me to speak with you at NIEDA, and I wound up with COVID and had to miss it.
I know. That was really disappointing. I just remember I was in my hotel room, and I saw your text, and I had let out a big sigh, and my husband goes, "What's wrong?" And I'm like, "Steve's not coming." And it was awful. It was, but, you know, we managed. You know, Bill Elizondo took over for you and helped. Thank God, you know, because people had a lot of compliance questions and legal questions, which isn't my area of expertise. It's customer service and call quality. So, but I was really disappointed that you weren't there. But hopefully we can make that up at some point. There's plenty of conferences coming up.
I hope we do. And I loved prepping for that with you because I got to listen to some of these phone calls, and it's eye-opening. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is.
Yeah, I'm sure you loved those. I did send you a couple of doozies that were in there, so.
Oh, yeah, it's the kind of stuff that if you're in the audience listening to that, did I just hear that?
Yeah.
It's interesting stuff.
I wish you would have been there because you could have seen some of their faces in the room when we were playing the calls. I mean, and, you know, we're going to have even better calls this time, so you – if you're listening, you need to come. You don't want to miss this. It's going to be awesome.
You do have a preface to this, right? Next Tuesday?
Yes. Right. I forgot about
yeah.
that. Yes.
Let's
next
play.
Tuesday.
Yeah, so for those listening, hopefully this is going to come out Friday, March 11th. You should be able to listen to this if you're listening to this then or anytime over the weekend before the 15th. You know, make sure that you're registered for Ignite's monthly webinar. It's again every third Tuesday. So it'll be the 15th this month at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. Maggie is our guest. So we will have on that call Maggie and Steve together, and they're going to kind of go through a few of the things that we've discussed today in more detail, and hopefully kind of give you a taste of what to expect at those presentations at the conferences.
So let me ask you, do you have any favorite war stories and anything that you could share that's just, you know, a great example of something that goes really well or something that goes not so well?
Well, one of my favorite ones is something that you definitely heard because I used this one in my presentation when we were supposed to speak together at NABD. It was a customer that lived next door to another customer, and they both had cars from the exact same dealership. And, you know, customer A calls up and she talks to this collector and she goes, I want to know why you guys haven't repoed customer B's car. I know she hasn't made her payments for 6 months. Why hasn't anyone come to get it? And the collector proceeds to tell customer A all about customer B's business, even though they're not related. They have no relation to each other whatsoever. God. They're just neighbors. And I remember hearing the phone call and thinking, this isn't happening. Like, I'm not hearing this right. So what happened is we actually sent it to everyone in the team, and we were all asking each other, please, are we missing something? Like, are they related? Does she have authorization to be speaking on behalf of the account? You know, there's six of us all trying to listen to this phone call to see what we're missing. Nope, we didn't miss anything. The collector just flat out told customer A everything about customer B's business, that they couldn't find the customer, that every time they go to pick up the car, it's not there, they don't know where she's staying. And we were all just sitting here thinking, what kind of a compliance nightmare is this? Mm-hmm. And the owner had no idea any of this was going on. So, you know, come to find out, this happened on multiple phone calls. So we had to download those calls and send them off to the owner and let him make the decision what he wants to do. But what was she thinking?
That's one of those, I call them law school exam questions, but because if you got that on a law school exam, you could write for like an hour on uh-huh. all the different problems with that. And, you know, Richard and I are very passionate about training, and that's a great example of you need to train your folks. You need to give them the tools to succeed and make sure they understand what's right and what's wrong and the why behind it.
And I also think, too, and tell me if this is wrong, but I think there's nothing wrong with saying, you know what, I can't discuss that account with you, but if there's any information that you would like to provide to me, I'm happy to take that, but I can't give you any information back. Why didn't you just say that?
Right. That's exactly right.
If you know where the vehicle is, tell me. I can't tell you what's going on with the vehicle. I can't tell you that she's behind, but that's not what she did. She told her how far behind she was, how much money she owed, that they couldn't find the car, that they were trying to track her. She disabled the GPS. I mean, anything she wanted to know was she was telling this girl, and I thought, oh, this is just a nightmare. So that's why you should have someone listening to and monitoring your phone calls, guys.
If I'm an owner, oh my gosh, I hear that. I'm going to lose sleep over that one.
Yeah, as a former call center manager in a couple of different capacities, one with no idea what's going on until you listen to those calls. I mean, I would tell any owner, especially most folks that are experienced in the business with listening to calls knows how valuable that is to having a good operation. I don't care what industry you're in. If anyone's talking to a customer on the phone and you have to have any kind of compliance or any kind of operational requirements, you have to be listening to it or you're missing 90% of what's going on. You really are.
Yeah, and I mean, you can't be everywhere all the time. And that's the thing is, I know that owners don't want to have to outsource things, but you can't listen to every phone call all the time. And we don't either. We do choose them at random. But I can't tell you how many times I've heard somebody in the service department bad-mouthing the mechanics or bad-mouthing the owners of the dealership or saying things like, why'd you buy a car from here to a customer? I mean, these are the people who are writing your paycheck. Why are you talking down about them to a customer? So we hear. I mean, this story is terrible, but I even had another girl. I was in the middle of training her, and all of a sudden she stopped responding to me. And I stuck that phone on hold, grabbed another phone, called the owner, and I'm like, can you go check on so-and-so? She's not responding, and she was passed out drunk at her desk. I mean, it's just the crazy things that have happened to me in the last 11 years. You wouldn't believe some of the stuff that we've heard, you know? And I've even had people, like, threaten to come down to the dealership and kill people because their car's still in service. I mean, the audio files I have heard are just outstanding. Unbelievable.
And you cannot replace the ear of a third party, because they're going to give you a perspective that you know, it's hard to get, you know, from your own subjective perch, right? Especially someone who's listened to not only hundreds of thousands of calls, but calls from every different kind of business in your industry. So I think, you know, doing that, you have a unique perspective. You've kind of seen it all.
I really, truly, we have. And you bring up a really valid point. You know, Internet leads, I still think, are probably one of the weakest spots for dealers, and they all seem to think that their staff just calls the customer like they should. And then we do these shops and we get no phone calls. And then we leave them open for a week and no one's following up. So not only I can even customize my shop. So I can not answer the first call and see if they call me back. I can set an appointment and then no show. And I can't tell you how many times we'll set an appointment and then no show. And they don't even call to find out where we are. Or they don't call to confirm our appointment, or they don't send a text. And it's like, you cannot just trust that these things are happening. This is your business. You've dedicated your whole life and you put everything that you have into this. This is how you make more money, is by handling your internet leads and your phone calls effectively. And even your collections team too, right? That all falls into there too. If they're not collecting money, then we're not, why are we selling cars, right? We have to get them to pay for the cars too. So it's all just like this continuous snowball. And the bigger you let it get, the harder it is for us to come in and fix it. So it's a really good idea when you hire new people, just train them right away. Call us right away. We'll help you. But don't think that you're immune to this no response thing when it comes to your internet leads. I even have stores that use companies that do automatic dialing, where an internet lead gets submitted and then the dealership's phone rings and it's ringing to the customer right away. And salespeople have figured out a workaround around that. They let it ring once, and then they hang up, and then they put the notes in the system, left a message for customer. They didn't leave a message for the customer. They let it ring a half a ring. So when we mystery shop them, we find that stuff. And then it's like, oh, shoot, no wonder why I'm only selling 25 cars this month. I mean, you can double your sales if you just call your internet leads in a timely manner.
Yeah, just trying to explain tapping to someone who doesn't know what it is, not familiar with the call center environment, and explain that, yeah, people intentionally are dropping your leads so they don't have to get on the phone for 5 minutes and it just blows their mind, but it happens. The whole purpose of what you're doing here is to catch that, and not just to make the owners aware, but to make the employees aware of how much it costs the company and how much better it could be for everybody if they were just addressing those calls correctly, right? Picking them up to start with. So,
and if you're a commissioned salesperson, why would you want to throw that lead away? That's money. I don't understand that concept, you know?
Agreed. And I think with that, I'm going to go ahead and start to wrap it up. Say a few words. I'll mix and match this in a second. But I will say here, we will have information on Maggie's company. And upcoming events that she's going to participate in, including the Compliance Unleashed 2022, including the registration for next week's webinar, where you can hear more, a little bit more of a structured analysis of the things discussed today, as well as her session with David Brotherton at Buy Here, Pay Here United. We're very excited to have her on our webinar, on our podcast, and at our conference. Maggie, thank you so much for taking the time today to talk with us. Steve, did you have any final words?
I'm just so excited. I mean, Maggie, you've got me fired up now. I was excited before, but man, I am so excited that you're going to come speak with our attendees at Compliance Unleashed. We love this event, and anybody that's been on the fence about registering, go ahead and register. This is the kind of great content that you're going to get. Plus, we know how to throw a good party, and we have some fun too. So we're looking forward to seeing everybody in May.
Thank you guys so much for having me, and thanks so much for letting me speak at your conference. I'm really excited to share my knowledge with everyone, and hopefully everybody learns a thing or two. Thanks, and thanks for having me at your webinar next week too. I'm excited about that.
Hey, we know, and I know you, to you as well as to us, education is paramount. We all believe in it. That's why we're here. That's why we do these events. That's why we conduct these podcasts. That's why we have your own. So everyone look in the comment section for the podcast. I'll have everything, ways for you to get in touch with Maggie, ways for you to follow her podcast as well as upcoming events. Maggie, again, thank you so much for being here today. Looking forward to spending more time with you here in the next few weeks.
Thanks, everybody.